Hosanna, a fellowship of Christians.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you in person, as well as those of you online. We are glad to have you this morning if you're streaming with us. And we encourage you, as long as you keep your mask on out there, that you can sing with us. But we encourage you to keep your mask on if you're with us. And at home, you can do whatever you want. If you want to, you know, stand up and shout, you can do that as well. But welcome and thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
how great your love is. Amen. Say, Heavenly Father, I just thank everyone for being here today. I think we just truly need to be reminded sometimes of how great your love is and how awesome you are. You know, through this whole pandemic thing, it can be tough on mentally for a lot of people. And I just like to recognize that right now, because that's something that I think a lot of people do not see. It's not a physical thing. So I just pray for all those who struggle to get up out of bed, who struggle to get outside of the house, who struggle to talk to one another or talk to other people about, you know, what their situations are, that God is an awesome God, and you can speak with Him, and you can talk with Him, and He can help you through this time of need, mentally, as well as physically, but He is there with you. Through all the pain and through all the strife and through all the struggles that you're having right now that are just accumulating through this time. And I know it's hard when you're isolated. And as we do open up things, it can be hard to reopen again because you've built those walls up. And I just encourage you to just truly, truly understand that God is here with you, and He's with you always. And He is an awesome God. So Heavenly Father, thank you. And we thank you for all those who are here with us today and who are going through those struggles.
The voice that is speaking words. Sing your
gentle light that falls around me. You're the first thought on my mind. Our voices rise, all creation cries, singing out in endless alleluia. From this moment on, join with heaven's song, singing out in endless alleluia. In the moments, where you go unnoticed, in the ordinary day to day, countless miracles of life around us, pour like arrows to your name. Let our voices rise, oh creation. Thought on my mind.
The song was called Endless Hallelujah. Can we get an hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us pray. You are a God who changes minds and hearts. When Jesus was with us, he called us to repent, to turn around and see things differently, to live our lives differently. And it was gospel. It was good news. Hallelujah. So thank you, Father, for turning our lives around and giving us the opportunity to see more clearly this world through your loving eyes. Please continue to do so. We're not there yet. And please continue inviting our church, our nation, our whole wide world to metanoia, to repentance. We know and we lament that what you have for us is far better than what we experience sometimes. Far better than the way we treat each other and are treated sometimes. Far better than the strife and the fear that so often fills the news and our own hearts. So may your grace, your love, your holiness call us all everywhere to transformation in Christ so we can be what you created us to be and what you died to make true in each one of us. Hallelujah and amen. Well, my name's Tony. I'm not normally doing the announcements, but there's a whole bunch of good stuff going on, and I want to introduce you to a friend. So it was just maybe easier for me to come up here and explain a few things. So first, for those of you here in the building, the offering bucket is where it's been all along since we came back and started doing this again at the back. There's also a change for change bucket back there. Those online, welcome, blessings. You can do what you've been doing so faithfully, giving through PayPal or sending in your gifts. Hallelujah. I mean, you've been awesome at that. A couple of things. My class, which I've been doing, well, intermittently since spring, Hope in Hard Times has been a study of 1 Peter, finishes today. So if you've been part of that and want to be part of that for the last session, meet with us at 11:15. That's going to be on Zoom, same link as always. We do have a new class coming up starting in 2 weeks. Joanne and I are going to do one called Surrender to Love or something like that. So that'll be on October 11th. Senior High meets today, 10:15, about 15 minutes from now to about 11. And here, this is where things get awesome, because next week you get some cool stuff. Next week, we're going to have a baptismal service. Next Sunday, after the service, right here in the auditorium. We figured out a creative way to do this. You know, it's October and it's COVID, and they're like, how do you do baptisms and such a thing? Well, we figured something out, and it's going to be awesome. So you're invited after the service is over, if you're here in the building, to stay around if you wish and want to cheer them on. If you're online, you're invited to hang around when the service is over, because we're going to keep the cameras rolling if you want to join them and cheer them on as well. Right now we have one child, one youth, and one senior citizen. And I love it. It was the youth who got this thing started, by the way. So it's going to be really cool. So if anyone else would like to be baptized, it's not too late. Contact the church office. Talk to me or Deb. It's just a wonderful way to declare your testimony publicly. I've been cleansed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, I've been made new. Hallelujah. And we get to do that and share that with each other. It's awesome. Hosanna at the Movies also begins next Sunday, which is, to me, is a woo-hoo. We're still going to try to pull this off. So now, for those of you who are in the building or might be tempted to come to the building, that's up to you. This is going to look like normal. We're going to show clips of a movie, and we'll talk about their spiritual meaning in between. Joanne started this thing 20-some years ago, and we've kept it up, and every year we do a series on this. So it'll look like normal. For those of you watching from home, it gets a little tricky. And the problem is the law. Dang on it. We're not legally permitted to broadcast video clips online. So we're going to have to go dark in our transmissions when the video clips are being shown here in the building. But do not despair. We think we've got you covered. This took some trickiness. But you can actually now watch, if you wish, the whole movie ahead of time before you watch what goes on Sunday morning. We've never been allowed to give the titles before. So it's always been come in on Sunday and surprise, because we're not legally permitted. They changed that rule. So we can now tell you, and if you want to, you can acquire, you know, get the movie or download the movie or rent the movie or whatever, and you can watch it online ahead of time. That goes for the rest of you, too, although you'll be seeing maybe 20 to 25 minutes of clips here. That also means that we've got to pick movies that where we feel comfortable saying you can watch the whole thing. This gets tricky sometimes. Some of the movies we've shown, I picked very careful clips around language and other scenes that we wouldn't necessarily want to show in church. So we'll try to be good. Two of the movies, at least, are going to be animated and deeply spiritual, maybe unintentionally. Most of them are unintentionally spiritual. That's part of the fun of it. Okay, so we're going to give the movie titles ahead of time. So you can watch it ahead of time, just watch the message, or you can wait and watch the clips at home while we watch them here, because we're going to give you the timings of each of the clips by Sunday morning. So when we fast forward to a section here in the building, you can fast forward at home and just watch the exact same section. It'd be cool. So we can tell you the name of the movie and can actually tell you the portions we'll be watching. And then, or if you don't want to do that, don't want to watch the movie and you're at home or whatever, you can just watch the live or recorded version of the message without seeing the clips, and you're going to get the juicy spiritual stuff anyway. You're just going to miss the movie portions of it. That's all. So one way or the other, hopefully we got you covered. I'm looking toward the camera and all you guys. We love you and we want you to be part of this. And so you can tell we're working really hard to try to make it work for you. Whatever works. It's a weird time we're in. And, of course, we want to do things right. But one way or the other, we get the job done. So we'll send you all an email message each week at the beginning of the week, hopefully, with this information. We'll post it to Facebook as well. So if you're on our email distribution, if you're not on our email distribution list, let us know and we'll add you. If you're not on Facebook, like us there so you can see the information every week. Okay. Make sense? Okay. Thank you. It felt complicated to explain all that, but I'll move on to what's more important than all the announcements. I don't know how many of you saw, but we said in our Facebook teaser for this service this week that Joanne and I have called in reinforcements. There was probably 5 years ago. Was it more than that, Rob? About that? We had invited one of our colleagues and friends at Evangelical Seminary to come and speak to you all. And for those of you who were here, you loved him. You said you wanted him back sometime. I said, sure, we'll do that. 5 years later, never had. And we were preparing and we're thinking, what does God want to say and what does God want us to do? It just seemed like the right time to finally do that. So Dr. Rob Palmer is with us this morning. Rob is a longtime pastor who became a Christian therapist and still is. And of course, because he knows those two things well, he teaches pastoring and therapy for the seminary that we both work at, and Joanne works at as well. He and his wife Ginger, and Ginger is with us this morning. Live in Lebanon County. I gotta tell you, Rob knows his stuff, but he also knows Jesus, and his enthusiasm for honoring others is both contagious and real, and you'll sense that. So I love this guy, and so now the Holy Reverend Father Dr. Palmer, would you come and share with us?
Morning. Thank you for accommodating me, letting me be here. If we could kill these lights, that'd be great. The less light in the building, the better, and you'll see why in a moment. But thank you. Genuinely thank you. My name is Rob, and I appreciate Tony and Joanne, and I just want to say, as an outsider, I don't know how long you've known these two individuals, but no exaggeration, they're the best individuals You learn a great deal about people when you work with them and for them, and I've worked with and for Tony and Joanne, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, something like that, and
10 years,
oh my gosh, we're dating ourselves. Humble, genuine, honorable, loving people, and when you watch the way people react with power, how they handle power and pressure, you see what's inside. And I've seen Tony under pressure and the way he handles power, and it's beautiful and Christ-like and loving and safe. Yeah.
safe to be with this person and safe to be who you are. So I love Tony and I love Joanne and I'm thankful for them and thank you for letting me be here. Welcome my wife Ginger. Say hi to her. She's a good soul. Yeah, and I'm glad to be with you this morning. We're going to do something a little different. I like doing maybe change it up a little bit when it comes to these sorts of things, sermons and presentations. So we're going to take you in a direction that's slightly different than perhaps normal. But I'm wondering if we could kill this big light and kill every light that could possibly be turned out, and you'll see why as we go forward. Oh, that is so much nicer. Thank you. Let's pray together, and then we'll move ahead. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us to look with new eyes at you, at the world, at ourselves, at one another, to honor everyone, to honor ourselves, to honor you, and to leave this world with a small touch of your beauty and your artistry flowing through us. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, all right, they tell me that this thing works and all I have to do is push the button, so let's see what happens. Okay, right, Dave Thomas. Dave Thomas had a vision. He was 15 years old and he lived as an orphan going from boarding house to boarding house, YMCAs, working in kitchens, that sort of a thing. And he never finished high school. That's the thing you want to remember. But this man had a dream and a passion, and he honored his dream and his passion. He was a person that really wanted to go forward. He worked in a restaurant in Indiana. He met his wife, and in 1969, he decided to act on his dream and open up his first Wendy's, and he did. And he named it after his daughter, one of his three kids, and there she is. Well, his dream became what he never thought it would. One turned into 2 to 10 to 6,500 Wendy's restaurants across the world, and this all emerged from the heart of a high school dropout who really never settled for the easy way. He believed in himself. He honored himself. He honored his dream. And he decided at 60, he wanted to go back to high school. I don't think I told you this story when I was here, but even if I did, it was like 5 years ago, whatever it was. So you forgot it. I forgot it until I remembered looking it up. But so at 60 years old, he decides he wants to finish high school. So he got a tutor. In 3 months, he picked up his GED. He attended the graduation ceremonies of the Coconut Creek High School in Florida. He wore a cap and gown. He took his wife of 45 years to the senior prom. Gotta love it. And he was voted by his classmates most likely to succeed. A high school dropout who had a dream, and he honored the dream, and he cared about it. He honored himself. 1 Peter 2 says, honor everyone. Everyone? Yeah, everyone. That means you. That means honor you. Honor yourself. Honor you. You're included in the everyone. Honor yourself. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. St. Paul said, everybody honors, nobody hates their own body, but they nourish and cherish it. Solomon the wise man said, a wise person does kindness to himself. So I want to talk to you this morning under the theme of honor everyone, and I want to talk to you about honor yourself. And I want to tell you 4 reasons you should honor yourself. And I want to do this in a way that's fun and pleasant and useful and tries to keep your attention and not just download information. Information's overrated. You get a lot of data. You Google anything. It's what you do with the data, and it's the data that really touches hearts that matters. It's data mingled with love and mingled with relationship, you know? So I want to try to do this in a fashion where we're going to not just give you left hemisphere, left brain data and get into your soul and into your heart if we could pull that off. And if you're patient with me, I think you'll see that there's a reason to my madness. Honor everyone. Honor yourself. Why? 4 reasons. Number one, honor yourself because good artwork deserves to be honored, and you're good artwork. You're good artwork. We don't get a hold of that, but you are his workmanship. The Greek is you are his poema, his poem. Now, this isn't just Christians. This is everybody. God made human persons, and it says God fashioned Adam, and then he fashioned the man from the dust, and he fashioned the woman from the man. Now, the author's telling us something important. The Hebrew uses 2 different words for fashion. When he fashioned the man, he used the word yatsar, and it's used of a potter making clay or a chalice or a cup or a vessel, and Adam, man, is God's chalice. And then when he fashioned the woman, he used a different word. It's the word bana, and that's used to make a temple or an artwork or a palace. So the man is the chalice, the woman is the palace, right? That's the way to think of that. And they're both beautiful works of art. And in that sense, God made human persons, and you should honor yourself because you should honor art and your great art. We gaze at art, and we look at it, and we ponder it, and we write about it, and we let it shape us. I took that picture at a birthday party a couple of months ago, and I really like that bubble, you know, and we look at it, and we ponder, well, how about you? You're God's art. Now look what we do with art. This is a painting. This is a cool painting. Chardin painted this painting. It's called Soap Bubbles, and it's celebrating youth. And we look at paintings, and we go into them, and we say, wow, that's pretty cool. You're God's artwork. How about this painting? I put this painting up for my students to look at, and I say, what's going on here? What's going on here? See, we're drawn into art. We honor art. I love the artwork in the building as I was coming in. I noticed that whoever painted it should be respected. What's going on here? I say to my students, what's happening? And they have all kind of theories. He's putting a spell on her. He's romancing her. And I wish we had time to discuss this. Here's another picture of it that's a little bit different because of the markings on it, copyright markings. But people are coming in from the sides and the corners. Anybody have an idea what's going on here? Montecasa painted this in the 1800s. This is, anyone want to make a clue what's going on here?
It looks like he's trying to sell something.
He's a salesman. He's an Amway salesman. I don't know if they're still around anymore. It's called The Storyteller, and it's the storyteller's arc that you can see here. Does this thing go backward? It may go backward, right? You could see arcs or arches going on in the painting. Honor artwork, good artwork. How about this? Tony, you recognize this? This is your favorite guy.
Caravaggio.
Caravaggio painted this painting. He was a Baroque artist. Baroque was Roman Catholic stuff, you know, and it's honor everyone, honor painting, your painting. Why did he paint this? Caravaggio was a thug. He was a violent fella. He was always in fights, always under some police investigation. And one day he got into a duel with a guy over a card game, and he killed the guy. And the Pope put out a warrant for his arrest. And Caravaggio fled, and he painted this painting. And on the face of the boy David is Caravaggio's face when he was a boy, and on the face of Goliath is Caravaggio's face as a man. It's Caravaggio and Caravaggio, and he gave the painting to the Pope saying, hey, I know you want my head on a platter. Will you take it this way? Honor everyone. More paintings. This is a fascinating painting. I won't go into the details, but you see that structure on the ground there? You see what that is there? Anybody have a clue what that thing is? A knife, some sort. What are we doing? Why am I here showing you paintings? Because artwork is something to honor, and you're God's artwork. That is not what you think it would be. This is called the Ambassadors, and on the top shelf of that cabinet is scientific equipment. On the bottom shelf is music, and they're ambassadors from France and England and celebrating life. And yet, with all of the regal beauty, is that little diagram on the bottom, which is a skull. Secrets waiting and beautiful artwork. Your artwork, this is a beautiful painting. I love this one. I ask my students, what is going on here? She's depressed, Rob. Okay, what else? She's in love. What else? She's waiting for her husband. She lost her son. That's why there's a skull on her lap. Honor everyone. Honor art, your art. Honor yourself, your God's artwork. This is the repentant or penitent Magdalene. That's Mary Magdalene. And the twin flames on the left are her and Christ. So what's the point? The point is you should relish art, and yet you don't relish yourself. You hardly honor the artistry called yourself. Artists painted paintings according to secret geometry. You're patterned after secret geometry. I tell my students at the seminary, if you could read paintings, you can read people. If you can appreciate paintings, you can appreciate people. Study art. Don't just study books, study art. The same principles used to understand art are used to understand people. So look through the painting, to the painter, to the story behind the painter, behind the painting, and to the person in front of you. You're God's artwork. Honor yourself. Painters worked with secret geometry. You don't see it, but it's there. and you have secret geometry, and you stop seeing it, at what point do we stop looking at a baby or a young person or a child and say, how cute, how beautiful, how amazing their fingers, their eyes, their hair? When do we stop saying that? We should never stop saying that. Honor everyone. Honor yourself. Secret geometry behind paintings that we look at and we don't see the geometry. But the artists painted according to geometrical structures, conscious or unconscious. And there's a whole genre of study behind painting and how the painting is patterned after design and pattern. Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. So there's art, that's right brain, there's geometry, that's left brain, and the whole is breathtaking. No less, no more breathtaking than you, and yet you've totally lost sight of it. I took this picture of a butterfly on a trail because I thought it was pretty, but you're amazing compared to that stuff. You got to honor everyone. There was a time when plastic surgeons and dental reconstructionists didn't know what to do with the human face, and they would get a burn victim or a person with damage to their face, and they didn't know how to help them unless they had photographs. And then Steve Marquardt, UCLA, I believe he's a UCLA professor, started studying faces. And he said, what do faces have in common when they're proportional and they're pleasant to look at? And he noticed a ratio, and it's referred to as a Fibonacci ratio, which is a mathematical ratio from the forehead to the chin, left to the right. And they made a mask. He made a mask. And he said, this is kind of like the proportional, standard, more attractive face. And then he took this mask, and he would put it on burned victims or damaged faces, and then the reconstructed face after the burn or the surgery always looked much better than trying to estimate it. And this is what that Fibonacci mask looks like. And this is why you should honor yourself. Because when you look in the mirror, you are looking into the face of masterful art. Breathtaking. Absolutely breathtaking. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or Asian or Mexican. It doesn't matter if you're Russian or Italian. This is the image that God put on you. And the psalmist was right. You're amazingly created. You're faithfully. You're created by God's hand in a wonderful way. He says, God wove ourselves. I was skillfully wrought. That Hebrew word wrought is the word for exquisite needlework. Honor everyone, including yourself. That's my daughter Kelly and her husband Luke and a little baby when they had that baby 7 years ago. The Hebrew says, I praise you because I'm an awesome one. I'm wonderful. I'm a marvel, a wonderful being, your workmanship, and I know this profoundly. This is you. When you look, listen to me, when you look in the mirror, you are looking into the face of God. His image is looking back at you. He put it on you. And there it is. Behind this face is an archetypal, prototypal face, a starting point. And not just the face, every part of the body, every single part of the body. When you look into the mirror, you are looking into the face of an image of God. Honor everyone, including yourself. Why aren't we telling our children this? Why aren't we communicating this? This is why you should never in any fashion degrade or demean yourself. You're God's artwork. You're the artistry of divinity, and you hardly know it. And Christians, out of all people, need to be aware of this. Theology should bow to artistry and be informed by artistry. Every part of your body. You're a walking collection of artwork. You're the Louvre on 2 feet. You're the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Every time you look in the mirror, you are looking into artistry that is unsurpassed. And therefore, can you cut this thing or abuse this thing or degrade this thing called art? Honor everyone. Why? Because good art should be honored in your good art. And we forget this. St. Augustine said, men go abroad to wonder at the heights of mountains, at the wave, huge waves of the sea, at the long courses of the rivers, at the vast compass of the ocean, at the circular motion of the stars, and they pass themselves by without wondering. How do you pass by an image of God? My son Ryan lives in Philadelphia, and that's his two little daughters. The one on the right is Gwen, and the one on the left is Vivian. I'll tell you about Vivian in a minute. But number two, honor everyone because you're God's reflection and projection. Honor yourself. So number one, honor yourself because your good artwork and good artwork deserves to be honored. And Fibonacci ratios show us that, and we see what we really are. Number two, honor everyone because you should honor yourself. You're God's reflection and projection. Marilyn Monroe, one of the most tragic persons of late history, and one of the most recognized faces. She was born Norma Jean Mortensen, and she never knew her father. Her earliest memory was of her mother trying to smother her in a crib. She went to an orphanage. There she is, a little child. An image of God. Artwork that was not honored as artwork was used as if it was, you know, a pack of cigarettes you smoke and throw aside, or a can of soda you drink and you throw away. She went to a foster home, and one of the boarders, a Mr. Kimmel, abused this little 8-year-old girl. When he was done doing his evil, he gave her a coin. Here, go buy yourself some ice cream. She went and told the mother of the boarding house, and the mother got mad at her. Shame on you. He's my star boarder. And this little artwork, this little honor everyone, including yourself, child, cried herself to sleep. She took showers. She felt dirty. She started to stutter. She said, I just wanted a mother who would put me on her lap and comb my hair and tell me I was pretty. She was abused. She was raped. She tried to get married, got herself out of it, didn't work with the marriage, became a model. She was divorced years later, moved into the career of, you know, Hollywood, more abuse, and she overdosed. She was only 36 years old. She said, I never felt like a person, only a thing. This woman was an image of God, a reflection and projection of God, so are you. She made a profound statement. She says, wanting to be someone else is a waste of the person you are. Honor everyone, including yourself. Why? Number one, because you're good artwork, and good artwork should be honored. Why? Because number two, you're a reflection and projection of God. Genesis says, let's make man in our own image, after our likeness. What does that mean? Demut and Tselem are the Hebrew words. If you're into this kind of stuff, then you'll get into this. Demut and Tselem, honor everyone, including yourself, image and likeness. The word likeness, demut, means to resemble. Humans resemble God. That's reflection. It's used of a king's image on a wall, of an effigy, a statue. A father looks like his son. And the word Tselem, that's used of a little statue as well. The king couldn't be everywhere in the kingdom, so he'd make Tselems of himself, and they put them everywhere in the kingdom. If you damage a Tselem, the king's troops would be at your door the next day, because it's as if you damaged the king. Both terms are used of paintings and pictures of men. What was God looking for when he made you, when he made me? What was he shooting for? Honor everyone, including yourself, because you're a reflection and projection of God. What was God looking to do when he made you and me? The answer is mind-blowing, totally mind-blowing. When I hit this button, we're all going to pop and explode, little firecrackers all over, if it gets into our bones. You see, we struggle with self-esteem. Self-esteem? Forget self-esteem, man. That's small stuff. You got to go for the big thing. You should have self-awe. If you're biblical, is self-awe and awe for the guy or girl in front of you. Why? Because the answer for what was God going for is he was going to create a miniature replica of God. The self is a miniature replica of God. The self is a carbon copy, a deity. The self is a miniature duplicate of God. The self is a mirror image of divinity. It's a junior deity. It's Demut and Tselem. Go study it yourself. Ask a rabbi. They know Hebrew. You're a mirror image of God. You are not God, but you're an image of God. You're a replica of God. Honor everyone, including yourself. I took this picture. Somebody help me and tell me what kind of bird that is. I took this picture. I was in a hurry. I saw it above my head. I could barely get my camera adjusted. Is it an eagle, a hawk, a turkey buzzard? Educate me, because I don't know birds. Might be a hawk. Well, do you notice the way this thing is flying? How about this thing? I took this over a lake. I think that's a seagull. Now, you notice the way these two things are flying? They're flying on two wings. A.W. Tozer, an old Christian mystic, said, the church needs to fly on two wings. Truth flies on two wings. We've had a wing chopped off. And all our lives we've heard how sinful we are and how degraded we are and how depraved we are, but the other wing is the image of God. You were, before you were sin, whatever that phrase means, you were image. And image permeates all the way through. Honor everyone, including yourself. We're little Whitman samplers. That's what you are, man. You're a little box. That little Whitman sampler is a prototype, or you could say a small little version of the big box Whitman samplers. I always hated that at Christmas time. You get these little stupid box Whitmans. It's like, I thought, just buy the whole thing and give it to me. We're replicas of God. We're junior editions. You're the little box and God's the big box. And I always hate the caramels in those things. They're so hard to get in your teeth.
But you have to honor them.
Yeah. Honor the caramels. That's right. Oh, my Lord. You put up with this every Sunday. So I owned that motorcycle at one time in my life. I sold it a few years ago, and I went in to have it inspected, and when I drove into the bike shop, I saw this huge German Shepherd dog come out and stop, and I stopped, and the owner came out, and I said, boy, I said, I'm a little intimidated. That dog was about where that speaker is, and I was about here, and I said, I'm a little intimidated to come close. That's the biggest dog I ever saw. And the owner said, Rob, that's not a dog. I said, what do you mean it's not a dog? He says, that's a wolf. That's a wolf? I love wolves. He said, yeah, that's a wolf. I said, how in the world did you get a wolf? And he told me the story. And he said, he's more afraid of you than you are of him. Well, I couldn't believe it, so I sort of inched my way close to the animal, put its tail between its leg, and it peed all over the parking lot. And I was heartbroken because it was not embracing its dignity as what God made it to be. And I wanted to say to it, don't do that. Be a wolf. Be the majestic, amazing creature that God made you to be. I should be the one with my tail between my legs stepping back, not you. You're not living in an embrace of your identity, and neither are you, because you're a projection and reflection of God. You're God's artwork. Honor everyone. Honor everyone, including yourself. When I was a kid, I had little matchbox cars, and these matchbox cars were tiny versions of the real thing that my father drove, right? I built a little V8 engine, plastic, and you hooked it up to a battery, and it's a little version of the big V8 engine. Honor everyone. You think you're a jalopy, the Beverly Hills jalopy. You're a Rolls Royce. Honor everyone, including yourself. A man had a Rolls Royce, and it broke down. He called the company in England. They flew a mechanic out to his estate. They fixed it. Run fine now. And he waited for the bill and waited for the bill and waited for the bill, and it never came. And he wrote, Rolls Royce, you guys sent a mechanic on a helicopter, and he came to my own estate, and he fixed my Rolls Royce. I want to pay the bill. And Rolls Royce wrote back, and they says, we have no record of your Rolls Royce breaking down and needing repair. In fact, we have no record of any Rolls Royce ever breaking down. They honor Rolls Royce. Honor yourself, you're a Rolls Royce. You are likeness and image. You better dig into what that really means. The psalmist says, what is man that you're mindful of him? God, the Son of Man, you take note. He's a little lower than God. Honor yourself for a third reason is because God called you his special treasure. That's my granddaughter, Vivian. She's 2 years old? I think she's just 2 years old, right? Okay. She's crazy. She's crazy. She eats red berries that she sees in the forest on a tree. I'm talking to my son, Ryan. I got to go, Dad. What happened? Vivian ate a berry. You can't eat those things. She drinks out of puddles on the sidewalk. He catches her drink and say, Ryan, for goodness sake, give her a dog bowl in the kitchen. At least she has fresh water every morning. Adorable. Special treasure. Honor everyone, because God called you a special treasure. He called you the Yakar Nefesh. There it is, Proverbs 6:26. The costly soul. The costly soul. That word, Yakar, means rare, expensive. It's used of gems. What does he refer to his people as? You'll be my boys and girls. You'll be my helpers. You'll be my you'll be my segolah. That's a word worth knowing. I learned this word a long time ago and I tracked it down, and when I learned it, it just helped me. You'll be my segolah. Segolah is the Hebrew word for a precious treasure. It's used seven times in the Old Testament. There's a few examples. The segolah doctrine. Those guys are his treasure? They betrayed him and they left him and they were unkind and they were foolish and they were... If they're his treasure, you have nothing to worry about. You'll be my precious treasure. That's little Gwen, my son's other daughter, my granddaughter Gwen. Precious treasure. Segolah is a word with a past. It was used in four ways. It kind of evolved over the course of use. Number one, it referred to a person's private possessions, like a tent or a camel. Number two, it came to refer to the finest of your pet possessions. Then it came to refer to a treasure itself. And then lastly, it was used to refer to the treasure chest of a king. You're God's segolah. Honor everyone, including yourself. It's not enough. He doesn't say, you guys are sinners. He says, you're my treasure. There's a story of a guy that brought a kettle, an enchanted kettle, to a backdoor drugstore, and he was arguing with the man inside. He needed money, and he sold the kettle for $500, and the guy who bought the kettle, $500, hoped that he was getting his money's worth. Little did he know that what he received that day for $500 would change the world. There was a little piece of paper in that kettle, some kind of document. And the druggist that bought the kettle from the doctor who needed $500 kind of did it on a dare. He gave his last $500. Little did he know that kettle was enchanted, because that kettle converted towns and cities to business capitals, millions of bottles, jobs, money. That clerk was named Asa Chandler, and that's what he bought. The formula for Coca-Cola. I bet that doctor was kicking himself all the way to the grave. I sold this for $500, and this guy, Asa Chandler, made millions. Maybe you're an enchanted kettle, and you don't know it, and you lost sight of that along the way because of your failures or your flaws or the things you've made mistakes with. God doesn't care. He loves you any more than he cared about Israel. You're segolah. Honor everyone. Fourth, last point, because God wants you to be his friend. He wants friends. Friendship theology spans the Bible. Abraham was the friend of God. Moses spoke. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. David means the beloved of God. Job says the friendship of God was over my tent. Jesus was the friend of sinners. Jesus is a refrigerator verse, John 15:15. It's a beautiful verse. No longer do I call you my servants, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I call you my friends because I want you to know everything. Wow. God wants friends. I get these students at Evangelical. I ask them, what's your concept of God? How do you understand God? Oh, God wants obedience. He wants us to be obedient. And I push into that. What's obedience? I don't want my kids' obedience. I want harmony and friendship and respect. And where there's love, there's no talk of obedience. There's harmony. God wants friendship. So, hey, let's finish this thing up. How could you dishonor that which God honors? God honors you as his work of art. Fibonacci ratios, honor everyone, including yourself. God honors you as reflection and projection. You're his image. Honor yourself. God thinks you're his treasured possession. God wants you to be his friend. I took that picture of the moon. That's a pretty cool picture, isn't it? I was pretty impressed with myself because I got a nice camera and I took it without a tripod and I was trying to hold it real steady and it came out so much nicer. The moon is a reflection of the sun. That's beautiful. That's us. So years ago, there was a TV show. How many of you remember this TV show, The Honeymooners? I don't remember you. Oh, we're dating ourselves. Oh, my Lord. I didn't watch it, but my parents did, and there was this TV show. I wasn't injured. I was watching, you know, Batman and Green Hornet. And so, okay, so there was this family, and the guy on the right is, yeah, that's right. And the guy on the left is Art Carney, and he played a character in this movie called Norton. And the movie, I mean, the TV show was very popular. And one day, this guy, Art Carney, there he is, was walking down the street, and somebody recognized him and said, "Hey, you're Art Carney." And he said, "Of course, someone has to be. You're you, because somebody needs to be you. Honor everyone, including yourself. God dearly loves and enjoys you. Not just loves you, he enjoys you. Enjoy yourself." And if you're new to this, if this is kind of like, I don't know what to think about this stuff, talk to Tony, talk to Joanne. Study the Gospels. Four best therapists in the world, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They'll help you. They'll change you. It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you for accommodating me. I'd like to close our service in a prayer and then release you to your day. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to honor everyone, to honor ourselves, to enjoy ourselves, and to enjoy you who made us. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. And enjoy the weather. Enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you.
Pleasure.